tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously? Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
Welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 47.
Oh man.
Okay, James, I'm excited because today...
Today is the day...
that we have new music.
Yeah, so you heard that first part. It was great. I loved it.
We've got an intro now. I'm hoping it's going to work because I don't have the intro until after we record this, so hopefully it'll all work out.
But, yeah, we didn't actually hear the intro. We're assuming that it's been put in there.
Yes.
That's your job. And we don't even have to talk about what this podcast is all about.
I know. So
it's taken care of.
We had suggestions from some of our listeners that because we say the same things every week, like, hey, this is what this podcast is about, your worldview, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you'll notice different music because we have an outro now that's a disclaimer. So we no longer have to say just because we talk about a movie or game or book or whatever that we're promoting it.
Yeah.
We just want you to like think critically about it and like, hey, if I'm going to take this stuff in...
You guys are good to hear it. Also, the music that we will be playing in the outro.
Yeah, well,
and it's in the intro. It's made by the one and only Like Lions.
Like Lions, yeah.
So Trevor Ryan, that's his real name. Like Lions, his stage name.
Yeah,
so he's got some new stuff.
And so we've talked about him before because he made our other intro music, and so we're like, hey, can we add some stuff? He's like, oh, I made that like
that cost us $5,000 to make, so you guys better appreciate this music. No, I'm kidding.
He
donated it.
He's
yeah.
a great guy.
He is awesome.
But it was really cool because he made our first intro music. We asked him about it, and then like just recently, he goes, hey, can I like I asked him about like adding the stuff to it, and he goes, hey, let me just remake it all for you because that was a long time ago and I'm better now. He now has an album out.
He does.
His EP, it's called I Can't Be Without You, and so we're going to actually play a song from it at the end, so make sure you stay tuned at the very end
because
we're going to play a song from it. I got permission from his publisher. No, I did. I want to make sure we're legit. So
you can find a CD on iTunes.
Yeah.
Spotify.
Google Play.
YouTube. Amazon. Basically wherever. If you have internet...
Yeah.
You should be able to get it.
So, Like Lions, check out the song I Can't Be Without You. The song we're going to play today at the end is going to be the one that your girlfriend's featured on.
Girlfriend? Who is that?
Your fiance.
Yeah.
Up to you. We're going to play
cool.
that. We're going to play that
Lots of talent.
At the very end. So, I'm excited about that. So, go check out his stuff. Support him on iTunes. It's like $5, $6 for the album. I just bought it.
Or just put his songs on repeat on Spotify and make him 0.01 penny every time he plays.
There you go. So either way.
Either way, he's making some money.
But it's good stuff because we were playing it for our youth ministry a couple weeks ago. The student came up and was like, hey, what music is this? And I was like, actually, this is Trevor Ryan. Like
alumni.
Lions. And she's like... Oh, yeah, he's one of our college students. So, but she was like, what? He made this? Like, it was really cool because she
didn't realize.
The only reason
so
she comes back there, is to ask about music is when she really likes it. And so,
now the only reason she comes back to Bethel is because we play
whatever
now.
All right, James, it's time for my favorite segment on our podcast, Florida Foibles. The Foibles of the Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's an interesting one.
It's kind of a video.
It's controversial.
Right, so the last time somebody rode an animal...
Oh, yeah, they
talked
about
jail.
Yeah, they rode a sea turtle because apparently you can't touch sea turtles.
Yeah. Well, here...
She posted it on Facebook.
Yeah, like, yo, check it out, sea turtle meat. Well, this time, this is during the day, not at night, because the other one was at night. Kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
Some people, I guess they catch a shark.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Sharks. This is in Florida. Of course, where else would you find sharks?
Yeah, well, Australia. They kill more people in Australia than Florida. But
well, that's good.
So they're,
they just don't know how to handle sharks.
This guy catches a shark with a fishing pole.
Yep.
And then another guy goes out and grabs it, pulls it up on the shore, on the sand, and starts posing with it. and getting pictures.
He does all these different pictures. But it's not like a simple, like, he grabs it by the tail, and it'll, like, move a lot, and then it'll, like, let it go, and then it'll get repositioned. Because he doesn't want to get, well, you know, like Jaws. He doesn't want that to happen to him.
Yeah. So he finally, it like, really it takes him a while to get it out of the water onto the sand.
It was a really, probably a great white.
No, it was.
Maybe a great white.
It was
maybe.
Not that big. No, I don't think
so. As right. large.
Yeah, so they got pictures of it, and then it shows them dragging the shark back into the water. But it keeps coming back up on shore. Like, it keeps getting washed back up on shore, and they keep trying to drag it out, and that's how the video ends. So you don't know...
We have no idea
what actually happens.
Back out.
The dad comes up and eats all the, everybody on the shore.
Suckers!
So
you asked a question.
I did?
Yeah, you did. You said, at what point does it become cruel?
Yeah, so... I'm getting a picture of the shark, but all this time the shark can't breathe, right?
Yeah.
Because he's out of the water.
Yep.
And so he can't like
breathe.
He can't get his water air. I don't know how fishes work.
So, wow. That's one thing that we know you're not.
A marine biologist.
Yes, not that.
How do fishes work? I don't know. But sharks... they're marsupials. I don't know. Is that true?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. So, anyways, write into podcastviewfinder@gmail.com and tell us we're wrong about sharks. But, yeah, so he goes in and pulls this shark out, and they take these pictures with it. But the shark's out. It's a minute and a half video, so it's like a while that he's doing this whole photo shoot and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, so I read the article. It said this video comes after tourists in Argentina caused outrage when they removed a rare dolphin,
ooh,
took pictures with it, and then ended up dying. The dolphin, not all the people. So,
yeah. Well, that's good. Now the dolphin killed them all.
So long, and thanks for all the fish. And so, so the dolphin murders all this. No, but they end up, like, the dolphin ends up dying. That wasn't their intent. And so, this one says the dolphin ended up dying, but the fate of the shark in this Florida video is unclear because they don't know what happened to it.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
So would this have happened 20 years ago? 30 years ago?
I think so. I think this has always been happening.
100 years ago?
No, because there weren't cameras back then.
Exactly! See? Yeah. Cameras are the enemy.
Yeah, whatever. They allow this stuff to happen. But it was just interesting that...
For my enjoyment, for a moment of my pleasure, I'm going to put you through pain. Well, you don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know if it hurts me or not.
You know what would be really funny, but not really, is if that shark comes back years later really big. It's like, yo, check it out. What now, people?
I went out in the ocean for 14 years.
And I got bigger.
And ate plankton, and now I'm huge.
And I'm ready to
murder some selfie takers. Are you like...
Take a selfie with me now!
Yeah.
How do you like me now?
Take a selfie with it. So
this gets me thinking, though. Because, like, this technology, you use cameras, right? Because this brings us to our next thing. So you have your phone, you're ready, you can always take a picture. Like back in the day, you have to have a big old clunky thing. That's what I'm saying, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have been as common. But now it's like, oh, swift, fast, sweet.
But 20 years ago, we wouldn't have known it was as common because we wouldn't have been able to see it immediately or somebody have a video of it.
And so we were reading an article.
Yeah.
And it was, it's from Relevant Magazine. I think this is pretty good. It talks about 7 signs... you're spending too much time looking at your phone.
Yeah, because phones have changed. I mean, I do agree with you. Yeah, because of smartphones.
Yeah.
Well, because of
regular phones, you know, dial. Hey, Chris, I can talk to you.
Mr. Graham Bell, I need you. Or what was that thing? Watson, I need you. What was the
Watson,
thing?
Graham Bell.
All right, well, whatever. So, but cell phones, smartphones have changed a lot of stuff because the person in the article said it was cruel for them to take back to the shark article. So removing a shark from the ocean for the sake of a selfie is highly cruel.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, but he didn't get a selfie. Somebody else was taking the pictures.
Yeah.
But it's this idea, right? Like, I can take this cool picture of the shark and immediately put it online and people are like, you got
people
a picture
will
of
like
a shark.
It.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm famous now.
Shark
I got a million
picture?
Followers.
Yeah. So some people were like, it's just a catch and release. It's not that big of a deal. And other people are like, it's an outrage. And so, but our phones are ultimately what's led us to this point of I'm trying to get a moment of fame or get people to like my pictures or all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, seven signs. I did not like this article one bit.
Oh, man. I wonder why.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So,
I know I have a problem. Okay.
Hey, that's the first step.
All right.
First, you look at your phone while you're bored at church. You know, that's good. I'm glad this...
Yeah. Even the best pastors have off days. Let's just be honest here. It's easy to let your mind drift on Sunday mornings.
You know, I did look at my phone a little when you were preaching. Because Luke mentioned something.
I preached this week, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, he said that? I don't know. I was like texting somebody.
Oh, so...
I sent an important...
So did I say something wrong and he
was... No, he said it was good.
Oh, and you're like, I didn't hear
that. I was like, I didn't hear that. So that's good.
Number two, go ahead.
You use your phone as a crutch in socially awkward situations. How often does that happen?
Oh, man.
Man, all the time. You're like,
Well, so we teach middle school on Sunday mornings, middle school students, and they'll come into the room.
Go to the couch or go to place a chair.
And it's mainly the quiet ones.
Yeah.
They'll go and they'll sit on a chair, pull out their phones, and not engage with anybody.
I literally can disconnect now and I don't have to engage. Whereas in the old days, it would be really awkward if you come in and sat on a couch and stared. You'd be like...
Well, they came and brought... So one person brought a book.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I used to bring books to places. I would take books like the Aces basketball games and read books. And I'm like, I'd rather read a book. So, but... Okay, so that social awkward situations. Number three, all of your alone time is spent on your phone.
Oh, I'm so alone.
Now, well, here's the description they put for this one. If every moment of solitude, waiting at a restaurant, bathroom break, or an evening by yourself is filled with browsing the internet or playing phone games, you may want to cut back.
Mm.
And I thought about that because I, like...
Whenever you get a free moment, what are you doing?
I check my phone.
Exactly. I'm like, I got a free moment to... There.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey.
I can do this
thing. I see what somebody posted on Instagram, my Facebook feed. The next one. You consistently have zero new items in your Facebook news feed.
That's right. But I think that can go with all of it. Like, if you're on Instagram, like, man, no one's posted a new picture in a while. I better go follow some more people. But yeah, you're checking Facebook too much.
Oh, okay. Number five.
Here's a big one. This is guilt, like, and this is where do you put, where does your phone get placed at night? Like, when you're done with the day, is it next to you?
It's next to my bed because it's my alarm clock.
Of course, right? That's our excuse. It's mine too. But it's the last thing you see before bed and the first thing you look at in the morning.
Right. So, I'll be on my phone or my iPad. I'll be watching Netflix on my iPad in bed. And usually till I fall asleep, and I put it over there, and I'm asleep.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I get up, and I do my spins on my slot machine game, which I...
He's got a problem.
I've not spent any real money on that game. But yeah, that's the first thing I do, like, immediately. It says, pray, talk to your spouse, read, whatever you do, stay unplugged for a few minutes and enjoy some moments of non-digital life before bed. Now, for the students that listen to this, this is really hard. This is hard for me, and I'm a grown butt man. So I think it's one of those things like, okay, this is going to take discipline to like redo this in my life because I do other stuff. So I'm like, man, this is going to be tough. What if I'm on my phone reading my Bible?
That's one thing, but how often does that happen? You know, that's what people make decisions for. I'm like, you should be an expert. You have so much free time. If you're spending it all on your Bible app, you probably read the Bible more than me. All
right, next one.
You check for social media updates at traffic lights. Now, we said more than that. Because you're like, I don't check social media, but you check other things.
Yeah, I'll look at the internet.
You'll pull your phone and be like, oh, yeah.
I text somebody, yeah.
It's traffic light. Again, that free time. Every free moment on our phone. All right, and this last one, I mean, obviously, you have to fly a lot for this.
Yeah. But airplane mode induces anxiety.
How many people have you seen when people are like, oh, what? Like, no. No, I don't have to turn off my phone. Like, no.
Yeah.
That's a myth, right? And then you go against them. It's just their policy.
Yeah.
But they happen to be anti it.
That's tough. I don't know, man. I would say 6 out of 7 I do. Airplane mode, I guess, induces anxiety. But, like, the game, like, I can still play games on my phone in airplane mode. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can still, I don't have to leave you for long, little guy.
We're more committed to our phones than the people around us.
It's true.
Do you think that's true? Like, I'm not saying you're more committed to the device. You might get a new phone, but you'll be like, man, I would rather have my phone than these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Okay, give me your phone for the next week, and we'll see how it goes.
People got to call me. It's tough. So, But going along these same lines, Jared Elrod, we talked about one of the articles he put up a couple weeks ago. He put up another article entitled, "Why Don't Watch Netflix," and then in parentheses, "much." So he posted this last week. But he told a story in here because he said, he's like, heard this guy talking about cutting down on Netflix some and like bashing people and stuff.
Yeah.
He said, you know, that wasn't him, but he started doing that more after this event happened. Cause he's like, he was a youth pastor for a while, then he stopped and became an entrepreneur. I can't say that word. And then he like came back to youth pastor. He's doing both. And so, he came back and then, he said, then something happened after a month into a new youth ministry position. One of my students killed himself. So this is a month. As a new youth pastor, probably doesn't know the kid very well. He said he didn't know him. He'd been at three things. But then he said, I checked my phone later. About 2 weeks after the funeral, I was going through the pictures on my phone and found one of a list of students I wanted to follow up with. So he'd take a picture of this list he made. He said, guess whose name was on the top of the list? It was that kid.
Oh, man.
He said, I just want to read his words because this is interesting. He said, I stared at the phone for at least 5 minutes, not sure what to make of it. I've never been the type of person to blame myself for other people's actions or to play the if I had only game, but this list was demanding I rethink my entire work/life balance worldview. Worldview.
Yeah.
One question haunted me for the rest of the week. What was I doing to stay so busy that I hadn't had time to reach out to this kid and see how he was doing? And so he talks about like he would go home at night and watch Netflix and be like, this is my time, right? This is the time I get alone and all this stuff. So I don't know. This is hard for me because I'm in the same line. Like, right? Like, like Mondays, this is my crazy day because I schedule the podcast in as a meeting, so I don't schedule other stuff. But I have meetings from 8 until when we're done with this, usually about 4:30 or 5. And so I have 1 hour break for lunch. So I get home. This is a typical day, right? Like I get home, I have maybe 2-3 hours with my kids before they go to bed, and then they go to bed. And then my wife and I like, we'll sometimes have a Bible study. We'll sometimes watch TV. Like it just, we have like maybe an hour, hour and a half before she goes to bed. And so when she gets to bed, it's like 9:30, 10. I'm like, okay, I'm going to play video games. I'm going to watch Netflix. I have like an hour and a half to before I go to bed. So I'm like, all right. But I thought about this because, I mean, at that time of night, 9:30 or 10, I'm not going to be calling students. I'm not going to be following up with people. Like, that's not a time for me to do that. I guess I could Facebook message them or something. Some kind of thing like that. But there's got to be rest, right?
Yeah.
But is our idea of rest different from... Because the Bible, like when God talks about rest, he talks about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy because he set that part, that day apart as holy. And so we have to recharge. We have to have rest in our life. And there has to be rest during the day too. I mean, there's one day that we're supposed to rest. But if you work constantly all day and never rest, there's going to be problems there. So I don't know. I agree with them though. Like priorities. Yeah. What was I doing to stay so busy that I hadn't had time to reach out to this kid and see how he's doing? So...
Yeah.
If my entertainment feedings get in the way of my phone, spending all my time there, and I'm not calling people back, I don't know.
That's good.
Well, so one of the things, I used to listen to podcasts. Or I used to make phone calls while I was driving.
Yeah.
But now I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And like that was time that I could connect with people because I knew I had time. But now I'm like, I'm going to listen to podcasts instead. And so
did your time to connect with people shift to a different spot or did it just stop?
It just stopped.
So that's something because that's what you got to look at is if your time, because all of these things are consumer, like a lot of this is like, I'm consuming, consuming, consuming. It's easy to consume more and more and more. Now, if you're still doing a good job doing and connecting, like I wouldn't get stuck in the legalism of I can always do more. You can always do more.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus could have done more. Heck. Yeah.
No, he couldn't have.
Yeah. No, he could have. He shouldn't have slept on that boat. But yeah. But, I mean, technology can be a great thing or it can, I mean, it can be a bad thing, too. Like, we can use it for selfish motives, selfish gains, stuff like that.
That article made me think a lot because I'm like, okay, is there stuff that I'm not prioritizing?
Yeah.
And I'm, like, putting Netflix or video games or whatever, my own self-entertainment over... reaching out to people and connecting and all that. And I think there's things I can cut back on. I need to.
Yeah.
I don't play video games as much as I used to. I do know that. But I've replaced it a lot with cell phone games. So I'll play Hearthstone.
So those are video games.
Yeah, I know. It is, but I consider it not because I can do other things while doing that. But yeah. I just need to stop, man.
It's hard. Help,
I have guys. A problem. I do, man. I know I do. So, okay, but... With
the advent of like things like technology and the phone,
yeah,
new stuff is coming on.
Yeah, this is crazy.
So, well, the World Mobile Congress is going on, and that's just all about mobile stuff. We love technology. Basically, if there's new stuff, I'm like, yeah, sweet, the new super iPhone. So, yes.
When's it coming?
There's an interesting phone or a photo circulating on the web now. Samsung just announced their brand new Galaxy S7 with the Galaxy S7 Edge. Oh, this is going to be sweet. But they invited somebody special to come up and talk, and his name's Mark Zuckerberg. So he's coming up, and he's going to, like, talk. But everybody at the conference...
If you don't know, Mark Zuckerberg's the founder of Facebook. Everybody should know that.
You
but
should know that.
In case you don't know. Okay, so he's walking up. Sorry, go ahead.
He's walking up, but everybody at the conference... has these VR, basically they've inserted their phones, their Galaxy phones on their eyes, and it's VR is just virtual reality. A lot of new stuff is coming up with VR, but you see him walking by everybody else in the picture. Like, you can see his eyes, he looks so happy, but everyone else has the VR goggles on. You're like, huh, that's a interesting commentary there. Like, you could get a lot, like, take a lot from this photo.
Yeah.
So, but that got me thinking about VR, because VR is coming up. So VR, it's the future. If you don't know that, you now know that. They just announced the Vive, which is a headset from Valve. It's going to cost $800. Oculus Rift. Oculus VR was bought by Facebook in 2014 for over $2 billion, I do believe. And then phone makers are bringing out their own VR headsets that are compatible. You can just insert your phone, and you have virtual reality. Like, you can have all these videos. Google has brought out a special thing if you don't want to spend a ton of money on a holder. They have a cardboard cutout thing where you can insert your phone. And we're seeing more and more 360-degree cameras coming out. So, meaning you can capture everything around the camera.
Yeah, because I hadn't seen this before, and there was this Christian rap video, and I'm like, because like I watch it on YouTube, so I'm watching it, and it's like these two guys playing dominoes. I'm like, this is weird. Like, why? All it was focused on the table playing dominoes, and so I like moved my phone, and when I did, it changed the picture. I was like, what? And then I was like you could take the phone and move it around and see.
You were seeing their world. You were there.
It blew my mind. And I had to show it to everybody. I'm like, this is the coolest thing. And a lot of people were like, witchcraft. So,
right? And they threw your phone on the ground and stomped on it.
Yeah, I had to buy another phone.
But.
Four times it.
That's the next thing. Like, this is the year you even love VR because you're like, yeah, PlayStation's getting ready to bring out a headset.
Yeah, PlayStation VR.
So with this.
I've got all my stuff saved for
what
Christmas.
Does that mean? Like, this is the next big thing. People are liking these. They're starting to sell these 360 cameras. What effects will VR have on the future? Like, and how do we respond? Because I was talking and texting back and forth with my future family, and we're just talking about how this could become a really negative because people would get so engrossed in VR that they spend all their free time consuming, oh, I'm going to watch videos in VR. This is... And so you're like, how can I talk to you? Because... If you had a headset over your eyes, you wouldn't be able to see me.
Well, see, yeah, these headsets don't have the earpieces, though, right? What do? They just plug in headphones?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the Oculus, not the Oculus, the PlayStation VR, like, has headphones built in. So you're, like, completely consumed.
Yeah.
So you're not going to hear stuff, all that stuff. So here's if I come in and you're playing on VR, I'm just going to start punching you. And then I'll run away before you can get the headset off and you won't know who it was. Except that I just
so
told you.
Real.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, there is one
playing
benefit.
Punch out.
There is one benefit to VR.
What is it?
Well, arcades. They're going to come back. Because here, they're going to set up special, like, I don't know if you've seen them, but where you can run and, like, gun. And it's really expensive to buy all the gear you need for each game. So, at new arcades, they'll have, like, where you can do the whole 360 and move. Like a little platform that moves as you run in place.
Oh, really?
You haven't seen that, huh?
No.
But yeah, so I think that's the future.
But there was one type of headset I saw. I think they demoed it at the CES, the Consumer Tronic show this year. And it was like, so it mapped out your 3D space. And so like you would go, there'd be like an object laying on the ground and you'd walk over to it and pick it up.
Yeah.
But there was a certain room dimension that you had to have.
Yeah.
And so, but it would like map out every, like it could kind of sense where everything was in the room. So you wouldn't ever run into stuff. But like you could go and interact with these objects that would like look crazy on, it was pretty neat.
It's probably the vibe.
Maybe it was. It might have been.
So with that though, you're like, man, that is more and more and more. And so one of the things we came down to in my conversation with my future family is there needs to be balance. Because it's not bad. Like unless you spend 24/7 VRing and you don't ever talk to anybody, you don't share the gospel, like you can use it for great things. VR has a lot of good potentials.
Yeah.
But just like your phone and spending too much time on it, you can do that with VR.
Well, another podcast I was listening to, they were talking about like kind of like FaceTime stuff or whatever, but you would like, okay, so my brother and sister-in-law and my niece, they live in New York, so I can't be at her birthday party. But if I put on these VR goggles.
And then you put on the 3D, 360 camera, you can look around, maybe get a screen.
Yeah, I can be like, I'm at the party, yeah. but I don't know how they would see me.
They'd have a screen.
Do a screen and be like, hey, Ellie.
Hey, so, what up?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's cool to think about. So,
yeah.
But the future of VR, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. It's pretty crazy to think that we're, because I remember growing up, I would go to these arcades and they would have the VR, but it was awful. It was like really blocky and it was really weird and like you just get disoriented. And so I've heard good things about these coming out. There is stuff that's disorienting. But
still new, still working on it, but it's coming.
So yeah, this is the year for it. It's coming out. Like they're all coming out this year and next. So, all right. Hey, we're gonna talk real quick about. Our church has been in the book of Luke, and we've been talking about loving your enemies, and because Jesus gives the Sermon on the Plain. It's not to be confused with the Sermon on the Mount. This one was a little bit flatter. But he was talking about. Loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you and all this stuff. And it was just kind of like, I don't know. As I thought about it, I'm like, okay, the stuff he says, it's pretty simple. Like, hey, love your enemies.
Yeah.
But you're like, wait, what does that actually look like and mean? So it's in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to say 7. Did I say 7 earlier? I meant 6. But he says, I say to you, who hear, I love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, to the one who strikes you on the cheek, turn, offer the other also, and for the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. So the golden rule or whatever, do unto others as you want them to do to you. But he goes on to say, if you love those that love you, what good is that to you?
Yeah.
Right? Who cares?
What are you going to gain from that?
Yeah, he said the world does that, and he said even sinners do that. Even people that don't believe in Jesus do that. They love those who love him. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those with whom you expect to receive back the same amount, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Okay, so the Super Bowl happened a couple weeks ago.
It did, and we pointed out some stuff about the halftime show.
Yeah, Beyonce's halftime show was kind of a...
anti-police.
Yeah, it was like, hey, Black Panthers, we like you. So then she came out with a music video for her song Formation, and it's in it there's imagery that many have interpreted as anti-police, including the singer sitting on a police car sinking beneath floodwaters in New Orleans and a small Black boy confronting riot police. So this is from USA Today article that it's from Plugged In that we're looking at. So the police are responding in this way. They're not going to be bodyguards at her concert. So, in Florida, so already the Miami Fraternal Order of Police has voted to boycott her April 26th concert in that city.
Yeah.
So, here's what I don't get. Are they allowed to do that? Because their job is to serve and protect, right? Is that everybody's?
I don't... It's is, I think, maybe off-duty cops.
Okay.
So if it's off-duty cops, you can take jobs. But yeah. The union, here's the thing. I think it's the union that handles the police. It's not the police department. Like, does it say? It's the MFOP, Fraternal Order of Police. So Miami Fraternal Order of Police. So he's saying, you know what? We, as officers on off-duty, we're not endorsing these guys to go do that.
So the fact, so here's his quote, Javier Ortiz explains, the fact that Beyonce used this year's Super Bowl to divide Americans by promoting the Black Panthers and her anti-police message shows how she does not support law enforcement. So, I don't know, like, what do you, how do you think they should respond?
Well, here, another one. So, and the president of New York's Sergeants Benevolent Association says, law enforcement across the country has to make a statement that we're not the bad guys. She's got to stop portraying us as the bad guys. As much as I like business, I would not provide any security personnel for her concerts.
So, is that...
It's a statement of, I don't know. I mean, you're like, I don't want to be seen as a bad guy. I want you to stop saying I'm a bad guy. I'm not going to be around you if you keep saying I'm the bad guy. I mean, if I'm not protecting you, then there can't be an incident, right?
Yeah, and then you'll wish you had us. So I'm thinking, like, from a Christ follower standpoint. So if I'm a policeman and I love Jesus, do I go to her concert and say I'm loving my enemies? Or by doing that, am I perpetuating this idea that police are bad and she can say whatever she wants about us and there's no consequences to what she says? I just one of those dilemmas. I don't know how I would necessarily respond, because if I respond, then my fellow brothers in arms are going to be like, well, he's an idiot.
They're going to look at like you as a negative.
Yeah. So if I'm the only guy there, if I'm like the only policeman there, and then all these people are like anti-police, so I'm going to get beat up. Like, hey, I was here to help out. Turn the other cheek, right? And so, it's an interesting thing. And like, I think as the police go, as far as like the idea of the police and what they're, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the police are getting a bad rap because there's a few people making poor choices now with all the cell phones and they're readily available. I can film this immediately and put it online and I can put it completely out of context so you don't see what I did to provoke this in the first place. You see all that stuff and you're like, okay, this is dumb. Actually, I say it's dumb, but other people are like, oh, look how bad the police are, and they post it on Facebook and all this stuff. I don't agree with that. Yes, are there bad cops out there? There are. There's people that make wrong choices and abuse their power, just as there are in any other profession. It's not just policemen that do it, but they're more public because they're there to protect the public. And so when they mess up, it's a bigger deal. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do with that other than it's just interesting because right now the police are enemies with Beyonce because she's saying all this anti-police stuff and kind of promoting this idea. She's very popular, if you know.
Yeah, she is.
She's Beyonce Z is her last name because she married Jay-Z. So, But she's out there and got this voice. But does, by the police not showing up, does that further her thing saying, yep, this is what I expect because they're the police. They're not good. Yeah. Or does it say, hey, I really do need these guys and let's make amends. So what's it? I don't know. I don't know how she's going to respond to this.
Yeah, I don't know either.
She's just going to hire police from other countries because she's so rich. So, all right. Speaking of Beyonce, it's time for... Goes the culture. That was a pop, if you didn't know. Pop goes culture. All right. Songs.
So, songs. Bieber, number one, number three. Bieber's doing well.
He's number one and three?
Yeah, he's number one and three. Stressed Out, number two. And then Rihanna with Work.
If we tried to listen to lyrics, and that song's just crazy.
I was reading those lyrics, and I'm like, I can't even, like, is this a different language? She says work a lot.
No. Work and dirt.
So.
Where's Hello? How's Hello doing?
Hello is Hello? Is a 7.
Man, Hello, get back in there.
I know. I'm really disappointed. It fell off fast. I mean, it's really
fast. Whatever. That song's
front loaded.
Yeah, whatever.
Now it's 6. So it was 5. Now it's 6. It's just going down.
Like, yeah. Well. Okay. So, is there such thing as saturating the market? Yeah, like it's too much. Yes, there is such a thing as that.
Yeah.
I think it's just been too much because it's been like, man. that song's on all the time. Everybody's spoofing it. It's all like just...
Yeah. I mean, they've got their fill right away. It's like eating too much cake.
Yeah.
Too fast. You're done.
Although she's been on the charts 16 weeks. And so... And it was number one for several weeks. Yeah. Right? So...
Yeah, it was on number one for...
Oh, and we talked about Zayn last week. It is the guy from One Direction. We weren't sure about that, but it is. But he was on Jimmy Fallon this past week.
Yeah.
And sang a song. I was like, it was just weird. I don't know. It's like, Zayn, come on.
Should have stuck with One Direction.
I know, because he's only going One Direction. I guess he's got...
Some movies.
Hot song. All right, movies this week.
Deadpool, still number one. Killing it. 53 million. Destroying everything else.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Panda, making some money. Then a new movie came out. I've been excited about this since we saw the trailer. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Finally, like, this looks good. It's called Risen. And it follows along a centurion, soldier. He's investigating. He's tasked with investigating Jesus and the resurrection. And everybody's saying, well, the body's been stolen. So he's got to find it. That's his job. It's pretty cool. I really liked it. I would give it a 75%. There's some things, you know, I think they could have done better.
Yeah.
And it made the story a little bit more. I mean, it follows it pretty well. There's a lot of Bible. It's not like they took it like Noah style and just
made it up.
No, it was like really, really well. Timeline matched up with his source. But this Roman soldier is not. He's a fictional character.
Right, yeah.
So you won't find him. But they're pretty true to all the other characters pretty well. And so I think...
Wait, was he one of the soldiers that was guarding the tomb? Because that was an actual thing.
No. He was the commander over those guys. Like, okay. He'd be like, okay, you guys guard the tomb. And he'd go back. He's pretty high up. He was like... They portrayed him as Pontius Pilate's right hand.
Okay.
Like, he is the guy who helps make sure order is done in that area.
So maybe the centurion?
Yeah, he's portrayed as centurion. But he's higher than a centurion.
Okay.
But he's, from the movie, he's like, well, I want to go far. I want to actually be in Rome. He doesn't want to even be in Judea. In Israel. But it's really good. I would recommend it. It does have some, I think Plugged In said it, there's content warning for kids, but teenagers, it was like medium and adults. And there's some battles.
Is it bloody or is it more?
It doesn't show blood. It's PG-13, but I mean, it shows people getting stabbed.
Blood in PG-13 movies.
I mean, yeah,
Lord of the Rings, his head flopped off, and it's still PG-13.
And you get people see people get skewered with the
spear, sword.
Yeah, spears and swords.
This is a podcast, so when you make hand motions, nobody is seeing that. So would you recommend this movie?
Absolutely, this is the one I can recommend. You
okay, see it. I have not seen it. And yeah, but it does. It looks really interesting. All right, so, but our opening quote was from the movie The Witch. Okay?
Yeah.
And so the opening quote was, I forgot what it was. All right. It was, wouldst thou like to live deliciously? So The Witch, I guess, I don't know much about this movie. I read the synopsis.
Satanic Church.
It's like really scary. Yeah, but the Satanic Church...
They endorse it, right?
Endorse this movie. Yeah. So, you know, it's probably pretty good.
Probably helps their church out.
Yeah. So, but the Plugged In review said the result of all this obsessive attention to detail, because they're trying to portray what it was like in 17th century New England. It says a horror movie that's profoundly disquieting in its depiction of a family's descent into soul-sapping terror. And since the director was not content to simply expose the irrationality of the day, he presents us with an even more disturbing idea. While this devout family imagines evil in their midst that doesn't exist, real evil stalks and eventually claims them.
Oh, man.
So the devil truly is in the details in this dreary, demented rumination on wickedness that no godly counter and certainly no happy ending. So, wow. Sorry, I guess spoiler alert, but well, it's called The Witch. Yeah, you were like, but
the devil. I mean,
yeah, but so that the quote is from, like, I think it's from a goat that talks. I don't know.
Well,
it's supposed to be Satan talking through him. And so wouldst thou like to live deliciously, right? Like, that's the temptation. Like, do you want, because I looked at that quote, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because he's saying, first of all, it's a talking goat, but I guess it's scary. So he's like, hey, do you want
When's a talking goat not scary? What?
I don't know. Balaam had a talking donkey in the Bible.
Yeah, he was scared. It was crazy. He probably fell off, ran off. Yeah. I'm leaving you behind.
But yeah, so I think so the witch got fourth, but this is one I do not recommend.
I'm glad.
Well, no, because, yeah, I mean, it's about satanic stuff and all this. But yeah, but it's that idea of temptation, right? Like, that's what Satan said. Like, even, you know, do you want to live deliciously? But there's consequences to that. Yeah. And I there's a book, I know nothing about it other than, like, the back of that I read, but it was called Need. And it sounded interesting because it was about this website that you could go to.
Yeah.
And you type in what you need. And so I was like, do you need an iPhone? Do you need concert tickets? Do you need whatever? And you type in what you need, and then they would say, okay, well, we want you to do this. If you do this, then you'll get it. So this girl gets on there because her, like, brother or something needs a kidney transplant in order to live. And so she's like, this is what I need. But then, but as it's going along, the stakes get higher and higher. And so they're like, she's like, people start dying from this website. So
is this real?
No, this is a book, a fictional book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this isn't real, James.
I was like, is this really happening? So, I didn't.
But wait, it's not like, what's that movie where it didn't get very good reviews, but it's like that button. Like, you push a button, and like, would you push a button if you knew that pushing it somewhere somebody would die? You wouldn't meet them, you wouldn't know who it is, but you would get, like, untold wealth or whatever. But that, like, but that idea of, do you want to live deliciously? Do you want whatever your heart desires? Because sometimes our heart desires the wrong thing. And so he says, the premise of that book sounded interesting because it's like, okay, what would I do to get what I think I need? I don't really need this, but I think I do.
Yeah.
Like, now I understand, like, a brother's kidney, like, if he's going to die, that's different. But, like, concert tickets or a weekend on a private island or whatever, like, okay. Yeah. But yeah, but it says the stakes kept getting raised higher. But at that point, you're already stuck, right? Like, you have to do these things because...
No, you're never stuck.
Because you said...
You're never stuck.
No, in that world, like, you... So I guess if you don't do what they say, something... There's consequences.
And then there's consequences. But there's always consequences.
Yeah.
There's been consequences to everything. So, but you... This is what we teach in Truth Talk. You can always stop.
Yeah. You stop, can but stop. What if you die because of it?
And you die. That's a consequence, sure. But you have still have the option to stop.
Okay.
I mean, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, well, you got to fear.
Huh? Yeah. So, I don't know. I found that book. It seems like it would be interesting. I might read it someday. So, but I know nothing about it. So, I would say I don't recommend it, but there's going to be a disclaimer at the end of our show that you'll
we
get
don't
to
have to do that.
Hear. So, but hey. Thanks for tuning in. We're trying a little bit shorter format. Hopefully, let us know what you think. You can leave a comment if you listen to this on my blog page. If not, you can leave reviews on iTunes or email us at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com. Tell us if you like a little bit shorter format. We've gotten some feedback from people.
Yeah.
So they might like a little bit shorter because it is long. I was listening to podcasts in the car, so it's like 15-minute spurts. So I'm like, okay, I'll listen a little bit and all that. But yeah, thanks for listening. Keep listening after the closing song or after the closing credit music because we're going to play a song from Like Lions, who did our intro and outro music and actually does all the music that you hear on this.
Yeah, pretty much.
The undertones and all that. So go check out his new album, I Can't Be Without You, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, wherever music, fine music is sold, you can find it. So it's Like Lions, and the song that we're going to play today is James's fiance sings on it. Up to You is the name of the song. So, hey, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time on Podcast Viewfinder. This has been episode 47. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time. Podcast Viewfinder. Yeah.
Now I'm so